Let's read together 1 Kings chapter 4. In this chapter, we have a record of Solomon's administration and a description of his prosperity and wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. So King Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were his officials: Azariah, the son of Zadok the priest, Elihoreph, and Ahijah, the sons of Shisha, scribes, Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, over the army, Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, Azariah, the son of Nathan, over the officers, Zabud, the son of Nathan, a priest, and the king's friend, Ahishar, over the household, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, over the labor force. And Solomon had 12 governors over all Israel, who provided food for the king and his household. Each one made provision for 1 month of the year. And now in verses 8 through 19, we have a listing of the 12 governors and their territories. Let's pick it up in verse 20. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tiphsah even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And these governors, each man in his month, provided food for King Solomon and for all who came to King Solomon's table. There was no lack in their supply. They also brought barley and straw to the proper place for the horses and steeds, each man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled all the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. Then Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Let's begin our study of 1 Kings chapter 4 with some background notes. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we saw that God gave Solomon the chance to ask for anything his heart desired. Solomon didn't ask for wealth or long life, as we might have done. No, he asked for wisdom and understanding in order to be a good and godly ruler of God's people. God was pleased with Solomon's choice, and it was granted to him. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding and gave him wealth and honor as well. Look back at verses 12 and 13 of 1 Kings chapter 3. God said to Solomon, "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." Now in the second half of 1 Kings chapter 3, we saw a wonderful example of Solomon's wisdom in determining the true mother of a baby that two women were arguing over. Solomon easily solved a problem that may have taken us days of record searching and interviews. Now here in chapter 4, we have the wisdom of Solomon seen in his administrative ability. Delegation of authority to the right people is always a mark of wisdom. In the first six verses, we have a listing of Solomon's high officials or cabinet. Benaiah was the secretary of the army, for example, verse 4. Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and Azariah, in the line of Zadok, became the high priest, verses 2 and 4. Notice that Solomon had a secretary of labor, a man named Adoniram, the son of Abda, verse 6. In verses 7 through 19, we see that Solomon wisely divided his kingdom into 12 territories and put a governor in charge of each territory. Now, these territories did not necessarily follow the same boundaries as the tribal areas. They were determined with a view towards providing food for the king and his royal court. Each of the territories made provision for 1 month of the year. Notice that two of the governors were sons-in-law to the king, verse 11 and verse 15. In verses 21 and 24, we see that Solomon's kingdom went from Egypt to the river. That would be the Euphrates River. All smaller kingdoms within that region were subject to Solomon and paid tribute to Solomon. In verses 22 and 23, we see that the daily provision for Solomon's royal court was enough to feed several thousand people. In verse 26, we read that Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 25, in a parallel passage, we read that Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Most likely, this is a copyist error here in verse 26 of 1 Kings 4. Remember, for many years before the printing press, the ancient biblical documents were hand-copied. As a result, there are a small number of copyist errors. These are generally easy to detect and affect no doctrine of Scripture. In verse 32, we read that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. 3,000 proverbs. We have less than 1,000 of these proverbs in the book of Proverbs. We'll have to wait until we get to heaven to hear the other proverbs. And Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. That's a lot of lyrics. And there's so much more we could give for background here, but let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one. The kingdom of Solomon pictures the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Solomon pictures the kingdom of Christ. Now, we've mentioned before that both King David and King Solomon picture or typify the greatest king yet to come, namely the greater son of David and Solomon, our Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon and his kingdom especially picture Christ and his millennial kingdom here on this earth in the future. It will be a kingdom of peace and harmony and prosperity. Notice how this is brought out in verse 20. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. And verses 24 and 25. For Solomon had dominion over all the region on this side of the river from Tiphsah even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river. And Solomon had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Just as Solomon's kingdom was well organized with designated responsibilities, so the kingdom of our Lord will be well organized, and every believer will have a designated responsibility. We will reign with Christ. Read Revelation chapter 20 in this connection. In verse 21, we see that Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms in the Middle East. So our Lord will rule over the whole earth in his kingdom. In Psalm 2, which is a messianic psalm, the Father addresses the Son in verse 8 concerning this future kingdom. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Psalm 2, verse 8. So in all these ways, the kingdom of Solomon pictures the kingdom of Christ. Doctrinal point number two, the wisdom of Solomon pictures the wisdom of Christ. The wisdom of Solomon pictures the wisdom of Christ. The kingdom of Solomon was not only peaceful and prosperous, there was a moral glory associated with it because of the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was not only a walking encyclopedia in many areas of knowledge, as we see in verse 33, Solomon was also wise. Wisdom involves moral discernment. Because of his God-given wisdom, Solomon was not only well-organized and efficient in his delegation of authority, Solomon also applied moral discernment to all aspects of his kingdom. Look once again at verses 29 through 31. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. The idea here is that the wisdom of Solomon brought a moral glory to his kingdom. It was not just a wealthy kingdom and powerful kingdom, but it was also a glorious kingdom because of Solomon's God-given wisdom. Verse 31 says that his wisdom exceeded that of Ethan and Heman and others. Read Psalms 88 and 89 in this connection, which were written by Heman and Ethan respectively, and you will find that these Psalms contain a lot of wisdom in the moral area. Solomon's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of these men. Read the book of Proverbs to appreciate Solomon's God-given wisdom and moral discernment. Thus, there was a moral glory to the kingdom of Solomon. What a picture we have here of the wisdom of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Christ is the wisdom of God. And Colossians 2:3 states that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What a day it will be when the wisdom of Christ is fully seen and appreciated in his coming kingdom. The wisdom of Solomon pictures the wisdom of Christ. Now, what about practical application for 1 Kings chapter 4? Examine your biblical role models in the light of all Scripture. Examine your biblical role models in the light of all Scripture. You know, God gives us a lot of godly role models to follow throughout the Bible, both men and women. But no human role model is perfect, including the men and women of the Bible. Only Christ is the perfect role model. Now, thus far in 1 Kings, we've seen Solomon as a good role model. But before long in this book, we're going to read of Solomon's downfall. Even here in chapter 4, we see that Solomon was not the perfect role model. The law of God said in Deuteronomy 17 that the kings of Israel were not to multiply horses for themselves. And yet we see here in 1 Kings 4:26 that Solomon disobeyed the Lord in this area. So let's be careful. Examine your biblical role models in the light of all Scripture.